Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Patty, she didn't make it. And I'm really sorry.
The semantics game is one that we could play until midnight tonight.
We were not on any mission particularly. We were just looking to pass on something we thought was...
I've got other things to do, to be quite frank with you, for my constituents here in Las Vegas who rely on me to do the right things.
Hey, it's a world-famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, a news talk and entertainment show that is a Alice in Wonderland and a through-the-looking-glass kind of thing, you know, through the prism that is talk radio. Boy, did we have some fun talking with people about Joe. You know, that's a bad way to start the show. Did we have some fun today? Man, we know at least two fatalities occurred when this guy Stack flew this plane into a building in Austin. So forgive me. I guess what I'm saying is the response to this man and what he did has been, in some instances, it's been shocking. In other instances, it's been predictably American, too. Because there are those, and the predictably American part is the part where there are those who are trying to turn this guy into some kind of a hero or somebody whose philosophy should be discussed. Anyway, we're going to have Larry Grover on in our first hour. Larry is with Conservatives of Kern County. We're going to get to talking with Larry about that. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We also would like to direct you to our website, philhendryshow.com. You can watch live streaming audio right now, live streaming and streaming audio right now on our website, philhendryshow.com. And you can also listen to, watch... What am I saying here, man? You can listen to the audio and you can watch the video at philhendryshow.com.
I'd like to slow down and get a drink of water or something.
I don't need any water. Give me that coffee. That'll help me.
God.
Video, watch. Audio, listen. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now, you know what happened, and it was as bizarre and as typically American as these random acts of violence are. In this case, however, this man timed his act of violence, his act of murder, his, quite frankly, insane act. He timed it so that he could also issue a manifesto of some kind on the internet about the spending and the corruption and the broken system and the, let's see, taxation without representation, all of those marvelous things that have been kicked around by people of late. So he was talking about the fact that his suicide mission was driven by the government. They did it to him. He had no choice, and like that, all right? He's a software engineer. His name is Joe or Andrew Joseph Stack. He was upset with the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service. So he set fire to his home and then deliberately crashed his plane into a multi-story office building that houses federal tax employees. The pilot was presumed to have died in the crash. Federal law enforcement officials said, though his body's not been recovered. Two people were seriously injured. A third person was unaccounted for. They say now that there are two people dead, and that would also include this guy, Stack. The crash caused a raging fire that sent black smoke billowing from the seven-story Echelon building. The fire was extinguished hours later. We've got a couple of pieces of audio that we'll play for you here, and then we're going to get Larry Grover on the line with us to talk about this this individual, this Joe Stack, or what he represents or doesn't represent. Here is Austin Police Chief Art Acevedo. He's addressing reports confirming that Stack intentionally flew his plane into the IRS building.
We had a tragic incident here in the city of Austin where an individual took a plane, obviously went airborne in our city, and as you can see behind me, ended up crashing that aircraft, what appears to be a single engine.
You hear that, Larry?
Into the side. I can hear it very well, Phil.
All right, hold on.
Due to the fact that our concurrent joint investigation has determined that this appears to be an intentional act, what appears to be by a sole individual, and it appears that this individual was targeting federal offices inside that building.
All right, here is Rick Leventhal of Fox News. He reports on the note left by Stack prior to this suicide mission.
He called, himself called his posting a rant. He said that the process of writing was frustrating, tedious, and probably pointless because of the storm raging, quote, storm raging in his own head. And he's mentioned, he says he worked on it for months. Here's a couple of quotes. He says, I know I'm hardly the first one to decide I have had all I can stand. I choose to not keep looking over my shoulder at, quote, Big Brother while he strips my carcass. I choose not to ignore what is going on all around me. I choose not to pretend that business as usual won't continue. I have just had enough. Shepard Stack says that he was being audited, and he complains that the government has, in essence, bled him dry.
Now, Leventhal keeps reading from the note, which calls for a revolution.
He says, I can only hope that the numbers quickly get too big to be whitewashed and ignored, that the American zombies wake up and revolt. It will take nothing less. I would only hope that by striking a nerve that stimulates the inevitable double standard, knee-jerk government reaction that results in more stupid, draconian restrictions, people wake up and begin to see the pompous political thugs and the mindless minions for what they are.
All right, here's Rick Sanchez on CNN explaining why, in his opinion, this was not a terrorist act.
The semantics game is one that we could play until midnight tonight.
Right.
I think it's best not to play it when it involves one human being
right.
with one grudge directed at one particular group or one particular person. I think if we start stretching the definition of terrorism to involve something like a neighbor's grudge against his community or his neighborhood or
right.
his HO, you know, his homeowners association,
yep.
then it starts getting a little too thin and we start getting a little confused in the semantics. I believe it's correct to stay away from the use of the word terrorism in a case like this.
All right, let's bring on Larry Grover from the Conservatives of Kern County. Larry is a Phil Hendry Show contributor and is also featured on our website as a commentator, soon to be featured on our website as a daily news feed commentator. Larry, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Larry, tell me, now I know from reading this man's manifesto, and I did read it, and the man is right, it's tedious.
Well, your opinion, Phil.
All right, hold on. I read it, it is tedious, it's riddled with cliches. Larry, this man was a deadbeat, I guess, with his taxes. The pressures that he articulates are pressures that others live with. The problems that he had are problems that others have to deal with. We're in a period of time in the history of this country that for the last 10 years we have seen unprecedented things, not just with the security of our country, but with the domestic economy of our country. You know, why is this not a fair statement that we're just talking about a weak link in the chain of life? We're talking about a weakling. We're talking about a man who, unlike the rest of us, couldn't take it and as a last cowardly act, blame the government.
Well, I tell you, Phil, that is a mouthful there. I think you know I disagree with you. You know I'm going to speak against you.
That's fine. Go ahead. Tell me why.
Well, I'll tell you why. You talk about him being a deadbeat. I think that's very harsh when you're talking about a United States government that taxes the American people at unprecedented rates, a United States government that is driving us deeper into debt, a United States government, and Joe Stack. Let's talk a little bit about Joe Stack, Phil, because I've been spending the morning poring over different biographies that I've read about him. He was a software engineer. He was a man that started some businesses, and he symbolizes. And the reason why the American people are talking about this is because Joe Stack symbolizes what's wrong with this government. Joe Stack symbolizes a hardworking man who was driven to suicide by the Internal Revenue Service because even though he worked and worked as hard as he possibly could to provide for his family and to create businesses, the U.S. government and the Internal Revenue Service drove him to this act. And
all right, well, let me interrupt you here for just a second.
And you saw the end result today.
Well, let me interrupt you for a second. First of all, you say he worked really hard. He had businesses that he started that he didn't pay his estate income. He didn't pay estate corporate taxes on. He was not paying his taxes. Is the IRS not supposed to come after him for that?
What was he not paying his taxes on?
Well, he had a business here in California he didn't pay taxes on. He also was delinquent with his taxes on another business venture a few years ago. He went out and bought a home in 2007, a middle-class home for sure, but nonetheless, $2,007 are $2,007. And he owns an airplane.
Well, is he not allowed to be a man who has things, is he not allowed to buy a home?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying any of that. But in building up this manifesto and in reading this manifesto, you'd think that this man had nothing as the result of his action.
Let me explain something, Phil, because I don't know that. I think the American people who are listening to this broadcast tonight, they understand me, and it's something I don't think you understand. We have a wonderful opportunity, those of us here, in at least in the conservative movement and elsewhere, we have a wonderful opportunity to... Joe Stack's story needs to be told, and you saying, well, he killed somebody, that is tragic. That is tragic, and that should not have happened. But we've got a great opportunity here to show the world Joe Stack, a hardworking man who was harassed.
What about the fact that he didn't pay his taxes?
You bringing up the fact that he didn't pay taxes or that he killed somebody, I'm sure you enjoy doing that. But
I'm not enjoying it. I'm trying to get the whole story.
Hold on for a minute, if I could just get a word in here, Phil. I'm sorry.
I didn't know that I was cutting you off. I'm asking you about all facets of this.
Hold on. We have a great opportunity. Joe Stack is a symbol to people all over this country right now of a man who did his very best for the American dream and was left. He's almost like left at the door. They closed the door and locked him out, and he's standing in the snow. And
the fact that he decided to take a man's life or more.
You want to keep bringing that up. And
is it not important?
Of course it's important. It's very important. I'm disgusted by it. I know everyone is disgusted by it. Everyone is saddened by it. And all right, so I said that I'm saddened by it, and I don't know how much more of that you want me to say.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm saying, if I'm a conservative, Phil, and as a conservative, I'm a Christian. We know that Jesus was an imperfect man. But in that imperfection, we find a true American story of a hero who can stand for all conservatives, all that conservatives hold dear and near to their hearts. Jesus was imperfect. And
Jesus didn't kill anybody. Are you now comparing Joe Stack to Jesus?
I'm not comparing Joe Stack to Jesus, no. I'm saying that there's similarities in their stories.
What are the similarities in the stories of Jesus Christ and Joe Stack?
You want to keep taking this off the topic here. You keep bringing up, you know, a dead man.
A dead man. You know, I don't even have that man's story. He was a federal worker. He worked for our government. He was an Internal Revenue guy. And I guess, like so many other people that do jobs that the rest of us think are odious, this man served his country as an IRS agent.
Wait, Phil, don't give a speech, all right? I understand. You say they pulled a body out of there, all right. You want to use that, though, to speak out against Joe Stack. And I mentioned the story of Jesus. In that, if you don't like Jesus, we could say Joe Stack is the conservative movement's Che Guevara. He's Che Guevara.
He's Che Guevara, meaning he is. It's a call to revolution.
I don't want to say anything. I love my country, and I would never advocate that. But there's an old saying, Phil: if the shoe fits, wear it.
And if the shoe fit, you know, the last few days here, Larry.
You're asking a lot of questions, Phil, and you're not letting me say what I want to say.
Well, I've got to take a break.
Naturally, you have to take a break, but I think it's convenient you're taking your break right now.
All right, you brought up the names Jesus Christ, Che Guevara, and all of these are symbols of Joe Stack.
I think that it is like, I didn't say they're symbols of Joe Stack, I said there are similarities, and you want to keep bringing up a body they pulled out of the building. I am as disgusted as anybody that Joe Stack, and we don't know yet how that man died.
Who, Joe Stack?
Well, the man that you say they killed, there was another man. I am reluctant to say that Joe Stack did it.
How do you figure a man died in a burning building set on fire by the plane that this Mr. Stack was flying? How do you figure that man died?
I think I'd like to get all facts, if you don't mind.
Did he die of a heart attack?
I'd like to get all facts, if you don't mind.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County about Joe Stack, the man who flew a plane into a building. Authorities say there was at least one dead in addition to this guy Stack. Larry believes that Mr. Stack is representative of the American people, their frustration, their anger. He has even gone so far on this program to compare him in some small way to Jesus Christ and Che Guevara. More with Larry Grover. Should conservative activists use Joe Stack as a hero for their movement? Is he just another, you know, Joe for the conservatives? 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Henry Show.
They hit Joe the plumber, but that didn't work.
Hold on for a minute, will you? Hold on.
Phil Henry.
I don't know what he's saying.
Lame. Oh, yeah, you're lame. Nothing like those cats. They're lame. They're lame. Oh, God, they need a life. They're lame. 9/11 truthers suck. Blow it out your butt. All right, I copyright that idea right now.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Talking with Larry Grover here tonight on our program. Larry is with conservatives of Kern County. I appreciate you coming on, Larry. I really do. My concern, of course, is, I want to open this up. But we're talking about Andrew Joseph Stark and the man who has been accused of and the suspect in this plane that flew into a building in Austin. Now, this is a man, and of course, obviously, the identification has taken place. I don't know if there's an official identification. But this is a man who took out the life of another human being, injured several others.
Can I ask you a favor? And I have to tell you, I'm a little disappointed that every time I bring up the fact that Joe Stark, you know, we used to have Joe the Plumber. I think this is this is a golden opportunity to make the Tea Party movement more mainstream by co-opting Joe Stack. And you've decided to use all three of his names, and I know what you're doing. It's a typical media trick.
What am I doing?
You just called him Andrew Joseph Stack. It's a typical media trick to make him sound like an assassin or a serial murderer.
How do you? I'm reading from the news story.
You called him Joe Stack. Now all of a sudden you call him Andrew Joseph Stack.
What do you mean? I'm reading from the news story.
Every time there's a serial murderer or an assassin, or one of these sick individuals, they use the three names. They use Mark David Chapman. They use Henry Lee Lucas. They use the other guy, John Wilkes Booth. The people I've talked. So this is the media trick, and I think that it is wrong at this particular point when I'm trying to tell you that this is a symbol of a man, in my opinion, who could be used by the Tea Party movement.
A man who killed somebody.
And again, you keep taking these shots.
That's not a shot. That's a fact. 877-876-PHIL. Where are we going here, guys? Over to Nathan on the Phil Henry Show. Nathan calling from Denver, Colorado. Nathan, you're on with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Go ahead, sir.
I just want to go ahead and say that right now you are making all conservatives worldwide sound like complete and utter idiots. You are praising a man who killed
another man. No, I'm not.
You are clearly putting him up on the same pedestal as you are Jesus and other people. You are telling people to look at him for a movement, and you are just sounding like a complete lunatic.
Wait a minute. Why do you keep bringing up, as Mr. Henry's bringing up, there was a man they found that was dead? I don't know if this gentleman, Stack, did it.
Oh, come on, will you? First of all, you've got 13 people injured.
I'm saying if this man's calling himself a conservative, he should be on my side and recognize the opportunities that have been presented to us as a symbol. If he doesn't get it, he doesn't get it.
Well, he's a fellow conservative who doesn't understand why you are doing what you're doing.
Is the caller there? I guess he is.
Maybe not. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to another call. We got Jose in Tampa. Go ahead, Jose. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
That other guy, was he from Denver?
Yes.
He sounded like he might be one of these log cabins. That's why.
All right, I understand. Go ahead, sir, Jose.
Okay, what I was saying to the person that interviewed me in the beginning there, my dad passed away in 1990, but we developed quite a few companies, one of them which I'm working now. We always paid our taxes, everything up on the board, everything, and we said several times have been audited, so and we've always come out clear on the audit. So that means because they call me for an audit, I should maybe run my car, because I don't have a plane, but run my car into an IRS.
We're not focusing on that. We're focusing on the manifesto that he wrote, that the U.S. government is leaning on good business people like you, and that Joe Stacked is a man who knows what we're talking about.
What about the plane that he flew into the building that killed somebody?
And you want to keep bringing up a plane that went into a building? Why? What point?
Okay,
what point are you making?
Let me explain something to you. We have ways of fixing things. Like I said, we've been audited several times and always come out clear. If we didn't come out clear,
what's the point? So he killed somebody. He killed somebody. I don't know what else you can do.
All right. Exactly. We'll take a break. Phil Hendry Show. 877-876 Phil. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
What do you want me to do about it?
Phil Hendry.
Phil, 877-876-Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're back with Larry Grover, conservatives of Kern County. There must be a disconnect. I understand, Larry, you disagree with me, but we're talking about this guy, Joe Stack. He flies a plane into a building in Austin. There's a man dead. There's an individual dead. Okay?
You brought up the dead body since the beginning of the program. I'm acknowledging this.
Then what is your point? Do you not see that this man killed someone?
Look, this is about shaping the narrative of this story. Look, I'm a conservative who gets it. I don't know how many of them are out there right now, but they got Barack Hussein Obama into office by shaping the narrative. Barack Hussein Obama, and they shaped the narrative. Other conservatives need to help us shape this narrative. Right now, the CPAC is going on, as you know, and they could do some programs and some speeches around this. And what we could do is eventually turn over to the Tea Party movement a ready-made symbol of the resistance to the tax-and-spend policies of this White House and of this government in general.
But the guy is a killer.
You want to say he's a killer? Jesus Christ was not a killer, but Che Guevara was a killer. We can use... And I think it's very unfortunate that I've come on your program and I'm trying to get a message out and you keep bringing up how he went out of business and didn't pay his taxes, and that there's someone dead. I know about that.
Well, you keep wanting to blow this off, and
I'm not blowing one off.
The fact that he might have killed, that he did kill someone.
That you're talking about Stack.
Yes, I'm talking about Stack. He flew an airplane into a building.
I'm listening to you.
He flew an airplane into a building. There's a man that's dead, or a woman that's dead. Somebody that might have a family. Maybe, I don't know.
That's exactly, you don't know. And before we start jumping to conclusions about all the family that this person might have had, or we don't know. They might not have had any family. They might not have been, I don't know. So let's talk about what we do know. And what we do know is that, 2,000 years ago, Phil, there was a man, maybe you read about him, his name's Jesus Christ.
Of course. I mean, you're going to start to try to now compare Stack to him.
Excuse me for a minute, but 2,000 years ago, there was a man by the name of Jesus Christ. And in his way, he flew an airplane into a building. He didn't fly an airplane into a building.
Oh, God.
But, I've had the decency to listen to you, Phil.
Go ahead.
He didn't fly an airplane, and Jesus didn't fly an airplane, but he did, in a sense, fly an airplane into the minds of the Romans and made them nail him to a cross. In his way, Jesus was a terrorist, but not the way that we think of terrorists. And I'm not saying that Joe Stack is a terrorist. Please, I'd appreciate it if this is on tape, you edit that out.
And no, we're live.
Well, I would like you to dump out what I said about Joe Stack being a terrorist, because he's not. Jesus isn't either, but you could say that Jesus was, because he terrorized the minds of Romans into nailing him to a cross. Hello?
I'm here, 877-876-PHIL. I don't know what to say to that. Let's go to Tia in Nashville, Tennessee. Go ahead, Tia.
Well, you're a liberal. Like this Joe Speck person, and I'm a conservative, okay? I'm a proud conservative. But Joe Speck, who flew this plane into this building, is just as much of a terrorist as those men who flew those planes into those buildings on September 11th. He is just as much of a terrorist as Timothy McVeigh was when he blew up that building.
Right.
There's no ifs
and
or buts around that. And you're not going to bring Jesus into this. You sound like an ignorant buffoon, and you're making
fun of conservatives.
Excuse me,
ma'am, but I represent the
conservative.
I'm a conservative.
You do not represent
I'm a conservative,
all the conservatives.
And I represent.
You probably are conservative
right.
on common sense because you don't have any. But and that's clear to see. But Phil, I'm addressing you because he doesn't have any sense. I can't talk to
even
people.
Am I the guest on this program, Mr.
Henry? Joe Speck definitely
is a terrorist. Don't I get to have people talk to me?
Well, I don't. The lady, she's... Well, let me give you my opinion about that, Tia. Tia, let me give you my opinion. I think to be a terrorist...
Good, I'm going to jump in right here now that she's shut up. And the point that...
Would you don't say that, okay? I'm talking to the lady right now.
She finally closed her...
The only reason why I
don't have enough sense. Go ahead, Theo.
The only reason why I don't think he's a terrorist is I believe the government and our law enforcement people, and I agree with them, a terrorist needs to be a part of a larger unit of individuals, needs to be gaining some instruction or information from a larger network. And we have in our country, as you know, Tia, these lone wolf psychotic killers. We've seen them over the years. We've seen them wreak all kinds of havoc. We can call them terrorists. But if, from the legal standpoint, from a law enforcement standpoint, I think it's better to not than do. In the same way, it's better to say that Ted Bundy was legally sane than insane, because he did know what he was doing, and it was wrong.
Well, I want to say something to this lady. What about Jesus Christ? I didn't say that this guy was Jesus Christ.
So we're not even going to go there with you because it's
are you telling me that
the
in his way are you,
you
telling me Jesus
no I'm not telling you anything because you obviously
your point about the Romans the point about the Romans Larry is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, sure. Are you telling me Jesus didn't want the Romans to nail him to a cross? Is that what you're telling me?
We know from the Bible that he was frightened and he said to God, please make this pass this cup from my lips if it's possible.
Oh, well, get a load of Father McCready. And where are you going to be saying Mass next week? I'm talking about...
Are you making fun of me? You asked me a question about the Bible, I gave it to you.
You know what? This lady's not, she's about as conservative as my mother, who loves Barack Hussein Obama, and if she were young enough, would have his kid.
Well, that's the
That's a nice thing to say about your mother. Yeah, that's a nice thing to say about your mother, too. Thank you very much, Tia. 877-876-PHIL. Real nice thing, huh?
No, don't, Phil. The point that I've been trying to make and that you will not allow me to make is that this man is a symbol of the frustrations of the American people.
And when I bring up the fact that he flew a plane and killed a man, what do you say to that?
I say you're right, he did, and let's move past that. You know, he didn't know he was going to kill anybody.
Oh, no, you don't fly an airplane into a building, and you don't know you're going to kill somebody?
He's got a philosophy. Conservatives need to unite, and that lady there is an example of why Barack Hussein Obama won. That woman right there. Because conservatives are more intent on ripping each other apart, tearing each other limb from limb and leaving nothing but blood and gore behind them, then banding together and beating liberals. She would rather throw me under the wheels of a passing freight train than get something done because we've got a great opportunity of this guy Joe Stack, is all I'm saying. And then you come up with the three names.
The three, I'm just reading the news story, and I don't know that it's a conservative's job necessarily to help you. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County about Joe Stack. This man, I call him Joe. It's almost like he's like Joe the plumber, you know?
Well, he is like Joe the plumber in many, many ways. If you think about the symbolism of this man, if you think about the fact that he articulated so beautifully the anger of the American people, and you want to keep coming up with the flew the plane, flew the plane, flew the plane. We know he flew the plane. You're making people sick. the listeners to your show know about it. They don't want to know about that anymore. They want to hear me talk about how we can use this ban as a symbol for the Tea Party and eventually get some kind of program going at CPAC.
Tell you what you do, man. When you get off the phone with me, call up CPAC and see if they can get you in as a speaker. Here is Mark in Houston. Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thank you. I consider myself a conservative, but Larry, you know more represent what the ideal or the intellectual way to approach the problem than anybody I've ever heard. You're so much in the spin cycle, man. You need to unplug that wash machine and get out, because I'm telling you what.
What about what I'm saying is not conservative? Why am I not conservative than you are? Larry, just like always, you don't want to interrupt. I mean, try to be intellectual here, sir, and let's try to have a decent conversation. That last woman was yelling at me because I brought up the name Jesus Christ, a name that should be brought up more often.
How dare you to use Jesus' name in the same sense? You said he's a terrorist, then he's not a terrorist. Joe's a terrorist. No, he's not a terrorist. I don't think you can make up your mind what you want to do. You just like to talk so you can hear yourself talk.
What are you talking about? What did I do?
You said, Larry, and I know what this gentleman's saying. You were saying the following thing. Oh, well, Jesus was not a terrorist, but he was, because he sort of terrorized the Romans' minds, and that this guy, Joe, he's not a terrorist, you know.
What? What are you
guys delete that on the tape. I didn't want to say that, as I remember
your
words.
Exactly.
I did not say anything of the sort.
It got out over the air.
Oh, Larry.
My understanding was that you were going to dump that. I didn't mean to say that. I misspoke.
Yeah, the truth. You can't stand the truth. You said it.
Hey, all right.
Think about it when you say
but
it.
You see,
please,
you're a conservative.
Joe Stack. And Joe Stack, if there's a way to do it, there's a correct way to do it. Sure, people are not happy. Taxes are maybe too high. The government's spending too much. But we have to approach the problem in a sensible manner. We don't take some guy that flies a plane into a building and say, hey, he's going to be the one that's going to lead us to salvation. What kind of deal is that?
You want to know why Barack Hussein Obama is in the White House right now? Because as conservatives, we get our kicks ripping each other's guts out and leaving them in the sand. And I would like for once to have conservatives band together. We got a guy named Joe... I got the name...
Stack?
Yeah, Joe Stack.
Oh, my God.
You forget this guy.
Here we go.
Yeah, forget the guy's name.
You know what? I've been on the phone all day long. I'll tell you one thing. I saw that plane go into that building. I saw the first flame that leaped out of those windows. I got on the phone with Kenny Everett. You know Kenny, Phil.
Yeah.
And I said, I've got the guy. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, this guy that flew the plane into the building. And I just said one word. I said, Jesus. He said, I got to go. He was immediately on.
Are you kidding me? Are you? And this man said it. Spin cycle.
Give me the name of the person that died
in the building.
The what? Give me the name of the what?
Give me the name of the person that died in the building.
Joe Stack.
I'm talking about, wasn't there another one in the building?
Yes, there was. What's his name?
This is what I mean.
Joe is the hero. But what about that person that didn't have nothing to do with that?
And you're a conservative. I just want to be clear. You a conservative? I don't believe it.
Well, wait a minute. The man
sensible.
Can be...
Sensible.
We had a golden opportunity to present to those Tea Party nymphs, and you know they aren't that smart, a symbol for their movement.
What's the name of the guy that died in the building?
John Brown. There, you happy?
Am I happy?
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks
so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. God, that guy's phone is loud, bud.
Here, I got to look into it.
Yeah, you look into it. On the line here with Larry Grover, and we'll just get back to more of your phone calls, more of Larry when we come back. We're talking about this man who flew the plane into the building in Austin, Texas. And Larry is encouraging other conservatives to use this man as a symbol of dissatisfaction with the government. And he's mentioned the name Jesus and Che Guevara. And this is not even out of the news cycle yet. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Hello. L.A. police were able to extinguish most of the fires, but that didn't stop the crowd from growing increasingly rowdy and violent. And then get a load of what they were doing. People were taking pictures of themselves in front of bonfires holding looted stuff. In other words, a dude rips off some shoes, then takes a picture of himself. He takes a picture of himself committing a crime, and he puts it up on YouTube. Whoa, yeah! Go ahead. Hey, turn that down. God damn, turn that music down, man.
Sorry.
It's blowing me right out of my... What's going on with this freaking studio these days, man? I couldn't even hear myself.
I don't know what's going on. I gotta check at it.
877-876-PHIL. Larry...
I just heard you take the Lord's name in vain. I just heard you...
All right, okay. I'm sorry.
I want to ask you one question. Are you telling me that you're happy if it turns out to be true that the Mossad went in and killed that Hamas leader in Dubai?
Yes, I am.
All right. How can you be against conservatives when you have a conservative stand like that?
Well, I'm not against conservatives or liberals. I'm in favor of a good idea. You're telling me that Joe Stack is a great symbol of conservatives and the Tea Party movement, even though he killed someone, even though he is a deadbeat with his taxes, even though he sounds like he's probably got a screw loose from this manifesto, anybody that would read that and think that there's any real continuity in it...
Well, oh, really?
Well, I'll give you an example. Did you read the manifesto?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Do you know that he calls for... He's in favor of national health care? He's in favor of national health care. He's opposed to the GM bailout.
I'm opposed to the GM bailout.
Are you in favor of national health care?
You know what? You can lie all you want.
I'm not lying, man. It's right there in black and white.
The point... Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I got a ticket off of Priceline.com. I am flying, and I know they're a sponsor of yours, right?
Yes, they are.
All right. I'm flying to one... Look at it. I'm using one of your sponsors, even though you are delighting... In as if I were a scorpion laying in a swarm of ants, you are delighting in poking me with a stick as the ants swarm all over me. I'm going to Washington, D.C.
Brother.
And I'm going to CPAC, and you can brother all you want. I'm going to have Joe Stack.
His name isn't Stacked, it's Stack.
I understand. I'm going to have those T-shirts. I'm going to sell them. And that's what I said, by the way, Phil.
No, that's not what it sounded like, anyway.
Well... And I'm going to sell them, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'll make a fortune selling Joe Stack T-shirts at CPAC. You watch.
And the fact that a man died...
You can say that all you want, and I think the audience now knows that what you're trying to do. You're trying to take the issue away from what I'm saying about when I was talking about Jesus, and you want to make it about a guy that died in a building that got hit by a plane, yes, that was being flown by Joe Stack. But that's the only connection we know of.
The only connection... All right, 877-876-PHIL. I already talked to you about this. You know what I mean. Dennis in Washington, D.C., you're on the air here with Larry Grover. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how y'all doing? How you doing, Phil?
Fine, thank you.
Your show
very
is
good,
wonderful.
Thank you.
First of all...
Thank you very much, sir.
This guy, Larry. Larry, what in the hell's wrong with you? What connection do
what,
you
what?
Have making Jesus Christ with this psychopath flying plane into an IRS building?
I'm simply saying that there are symbols of resistance, and this guy, you have to admit, symbolizes resistance to a government gone mad with our money. And
the guy flew a plane into a building. How does that represent?
Guy flew a plane. My friend Bobby, he used to live over by the College Park Airport over here in Maryland, just outside of D.C. And
your friend Bobby,
these planes go up and down all the time. Now those guys. First of all, I mean, I got a cousin Dale was in Colorado. He won a big belt buckle in the Saddlebronc Rodeo.
877-876-PHIL. So Larry, you know what we're talking about.
All I know is the following. I've had on your program conservatives talking to me like I'm a Roman centurion, and actually I'm one of the apostles. And
I don't want any more Jesus comparisons. Do you understand?
Did I see Jesus?
You're a Roman centurion, and you're one of the apostles. This guy, Joe Stack, murdered someone, murdered them.
You can't. It's manslaughter.
And no, it's murder.
How do you figure it's murder?
Because he... How do I figure it's murder? When you fly an airplane into a building, okay?
Right.
You're flying that plane for one reason only, and that is to cause death and damage.
Now, wait a minute. When you fly an airplane into a building, you're going to cause damage. You don't necessarily know there's anybody there.
When you fly an airplane into a building during business hours, you are attempting to kill people. That's attempted murder.
All right, it's attempted murder.
Well, guess what? They just found a body of someone other than him, so now it's murder.
Well, guess what? You can't accuse a dead man of murder. So, wow. Are you kidding? Do you really?
You know what I'm talking about, and that would have been the charge at this. Get out of here before I lose my mind.
I got to try something, Philly. Can I get on the phone?
What?
Can I get on the phone?
Hello? Turn that off, man!
What? Well, I was just trying to check it out.
God almighty, it blew my ears out. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Go on over there. You can see live streaming video of the show as well as listen to live streaming audio of the show. And we also have great archives over there. And we have, of course, our video archives of television shows and TV pilots and things like that.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
This would be consistent with such a thing, as is no snow near the city of Vancouver.
Last night said that Iraq could end up being one of the president's great achievements.
I'm not apologizing this house for that young lady over there.
Most of the people will have died, and the rest of us will be cannibals. Civilization will have broken down.
And that's just the way it is.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we take you through the looking glass of issue and news and perhaps even the way you view things and maybe even the way you sound when you're expressing your opinions of those things. Coming up tonight, the Captain America comic takes aim at Tea Partiers, and Billboard magazine has released the top 50 most romantic songs of all time. Our number here on the Phil Hendry Show is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We've got Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory joining us in just a moment to discuss what's the next step for people who are advocates of the idea that global warming is a man-made phenomenon and can be controlled by men and women, the human race. What is the next step for those people who have been under assault, from the email scandal, the Anglia University scandal, B, the allegations of doctored papers, C, a big snowstorm falling in Washington, even though phenomenon is known as global climate change, a lot of people have to have that explained to them. So we're going to talk with him. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, and of course you can join us online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, where you can watch our live streaming video and listen to our live streaming audio as well. And let's get Dr. Tarner on the line. Before we do that, though, I want to just, if you'll pardon me, Dr. Tarner, Bill Nye, the science guy, you've seen this guy on television, maybe your kids watch him. He says that climate change deniers are unpatriotic. Now, it's an interesting phrase to use. As a matter of fact, more and more as we move through these years post-Bush, we're hearing things that we were told we shouldn't say, and they're being said by the people that told us we shouldn't say them. Unpatriotic if you don't believe certain things. And one more thing. Did you know that Iraq is going to be one of the great achievements of the Obama administration? Really, really weird. Now, Bill Nye, the science guy, was on MSNBC's Rachel Maddow show, and Bill was saying, basically, that you know, he scoffed that climate change deniers are unpatriotic for believing the East Coast snowstorm somehow refutes that there is such a thing as global warming. Bill Nye tells Rachel that the snowstorm on the East Coast proves climate change is real, and if you disagree, you're not patriotic.
This would be consistent with such a thing, as is no snow near the city of Vancouver on Mount Cypress there, as is the big mudslides we had here in Southern California. There's more energy in the atmosphere, and this is stirring things up. If you want to get serious about it, these guys claiming that the snow in Washington disproves climate change are almost unpatriotic. It's really they're denying science. So they're very happy to have the weather forecast be accurate within a few hours, but they're displeased or unenchanted by predictions of the world getting warmer. Shakes me up.
All right, and Maddow follows up by asking Nye if he thinks there's a legitimate beef with evidence supporting the global warming claim, and Nye dodges the question.
Well, my thinking is, really, I've thought about this a lot as an educator, spent a lot of time with a lot of people. It's mostly generational, it seems to be. This is anecdotal from me. Older people just have a much harder time grasping the idea that you have many billions of people on the planet with a very, very thin atmosphere, you're able to affect its climate. It's as you, when you, younger people are able to sort of embrace it, understand the evidence, and move forward. Just as you say, making a full court one arm shot happens now and then. There's snowstorm in Washington D.C. now and then.
Wow. Okay. So I'd say that guy he didn't make any sense. Because there wasn't any real science there. I wonder why they call him the science guy. Anyway, let's get Dr. Ron Tarner on the line. I'm going to call you, Dr. Tarner. You're going to be our science guy tonight, okay? Because my experience is you know, that's what you like to talk. So would you mind being my science guy tonight?
Well, Phil, I'd be very proud to be your science guy tonight. And before you, talk bad about my good friend Bill Nye, he really is a very responsible scientist. I think when you're in a situation, I guess he was on a television show, and talking on a television show, and I think you get nervous, and you may not say the things that you want to say, but essentially Bill is correct, Phil, and we've had a tough time making that case because of that snowstorm. Because people are saying, oh, look, that proves there is a global warming.
Well, all right. So I know from talking to you and talking to other people that it isn't really called global warming. It's global climate change because we have seen these fluctuations in temperature. But it's, you know, I don't want to debate this with you. It seems because the weather has gotten cooler in some instances, they've decided to focus on something different about this. We were told for the longest time that it was hot, 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 the hottest decade, the hottest temperatures, and then we started to see these weather anomalies, and now, well, you know, let's not talk about hot, let's just talk about change.
Well, Phil, any way you want to put it, we have global climate change, and I know you're a responsible broadcaster, and I know that you want to do the right thing, but I don't think you are doing the right thing. When you allow the hysterics in the anti-global warming crowd to seize upon the snowstorm back east and to say, look, see, there's no global warming, and then they seize upon a few cranks and a few crackpots that got a hold of a couple of emails that, as far as I know, had no information in them at all except silly doodlings and jokes and songs and things.
Are you talking about the emails from Anglia University?
I'm talking about the emails, yes, from the doctors that were hacked and that they thought they were going to discredit a very fine doctor. What I'm hearing is these emails contain nothing in them other than filthy jokes and songs and shopping lists. And
no, but there's some very specific stuff there.
Well, Phil, before you go, the reason why I'm on your program is for this very reason. Every time I go somewhere, and every time that a Bill Nye goes somewhere, and every time anyone goes anywhere to say to people, we have got a problem with global warming, we're confronted with people like you who want to say, yeah, but. And we are in such a state now of misinformation and disinformation that we have got to get this car back on the road. We've got to get this train back on the tracks. forget about Anglia and forget about the global, you know, whether it's warming or cooling or snow storm. We have proposed, Phil, from Global Awareness and Global Acceptance, which is the name of our multinational advocacy group, GAGA, because of the Lady Gaga's popularity, we call it Global Awareness, Global Acceptance.
And well, what are you guys proposing?
Well, we have proposed to meet with representatives of major democracies, major Republican, and that is representative governments, and propose some legislation, some kind of codification that if you are blatantly criticizing the reality of global warming, that there can be a fine levied, and if you don't pay the fine, that there can be some kind of jail time. Because, Phil, this has got so serious.
Wait. Hold on. Are you talking to me about...
I do that you take exception to this.
Are you talking to me about limiting the freedom of speech in this country, disagree?
I do you say this.
No, to disagree with the idea of global warming, you're saying that you want to have fines?
This is so serious and is being done by people in such a cavalier way, almost as if this is a frat brother mentality, while the world is in a very dangerous state, that we have no choice. We have no choice. We have to begin to levy fines and turn people's mentality away from this frat brother party atmosphere. Let's go make fun of the professor and all the other dorks, who do science. And
this is what you're proposing is not unlike what that professor proposed a year or so ago, that people that didn't believe in global warming be put in jail.
No, I am not saying that, Phil.
Well, you are, that they should be put in jail, and that this is an area of speech that needs to somehow be curtailed. That's what you're saying. An area of speech that needs to be curtailed.
Are you free? Do you have the freedom to walk up to my front door and when I answer the door to throw acid in my face? Are you free to do that?
Of course I'm not. Of course I'm not.
Well, then why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Why are you free to throw the to throw the symbolic, if you will, or the allegorical, or the metaphorical acid into my face by saying that there is no global warming? Because it's just as destructive.
Oh, come on, doctor. You're talking, in one instance, you're talking about serious physical harm. In the other instance, you're talking about ideas.
There is no difference between denied global warming, Phil, and a vicious, violent assault on a group of people. Because if you deny global... I'm sorry, I'm having a difficult time. I've got notes in front of me. When you deny global warming, you deny something that is so serious... You're assaulting viciously however many people are listening to you. In my opinion, you do not have that right. I tell you this, Phil, with all the greatest of honesty. Global warming, you see, the leaked emails and the snow, that was the last straw for me, because now... as I said, the frat brothers were taking over the debate. So I believe we've got to have a fine at jail. Yes, jail.
And you won't be taken seriously, you know that.
I'm not ready to say that. I believe there are many congressmen and women who support my stance. One of them, I believe, would be Alan Grayson. And you know Alan Grayson gets attention. You know that, don't you?
Alan Grayson gets attention. I think a lot of people think he's a weird ass.
Well, I'm hopeful to speak with him next week. Alan Grayson will cause a stink, and he will raise a ruckus so loud, they'll be hanging on for mercy when I get this sucker rolling.
All right, 8-7. So, Dr. Tarner, proposing to fine or jail anyone that says anything against global warming, you know what happened to that one guy? They thought he was a kook.
Well, we've got kooks now on the other side saying that the snowstorm isn't global warming or climate change. And I'm telling you what... wait till Alan Grayson gets a hold of this.
All right. I think he's going to make a joke out of it, too. 877.
I don't think so.
All right. 877-876. Phil, with me is Dr. Ron Tarner, who believes that the case for man-made global warming has been so inundated with negative propaganda and stupid commentary that there is no choice now but to fine people. A monetary fine, right, Doc?
Exactly. A monetary fine and refusal to pay the fine is jail.
All right. To fine people or otherwise jail people for speaking out against global warming. Our number is 877. So what is your reaction to our guest's efforts to get you fined and possibly imprisoned for speaking out against global warming? Dr. Ron Turner, 877-876-PHIL.
Well, I like the way you make it about me, huh, Phil?
Well, it is about you, Doc, you know.
Well, it's about all of us.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're going to make it all about me, huh?
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Now, why am I looking at Channel 4 right now putting perfectly good bud into a frying pan?
Oh, my God. They're taking the best buds and they're going to cook it up.
Is this some kind of stupid how to cook marijuana show? Get out of here, man. First of all, make it legal. Then show us how to cook it. Phil on the line is Dr. Ron Turner from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. Now, Dr. Turner, you're teaching classes there at the community college in around Meadow, and you are teaching environmental sciences as well as the astronomy classes that you teach. What do you say to your students when they challenge you in class?
What do I say to whom?
What are you saying to your students if they challenge the global climate change belief in class?
First of all, Phil, you don't do me a good service. You don't do yourself a service by calling it a belief and a theory. Global climate change is real. I know it's real. I know in my heart that it's real. I've devoted far too much time and I've devoted far too much effort in publicizing global climate change for it. Not to be real. I just know it, and I think everyone listening has had that experience where they just know that something is real.
And I understand that, sir, but the science...
And I'll get to your question in a moment. Any student that stands up in my classroom and says, Professor Turner, is global climate change real, or is it simply the opinion, I will say to them, get out of my classroom. Get out. Get out of my lecture hall, and I'd appreciate it if you'd get completely out of the building that we're in.
So you just kick them out?
Absolutely.
You don't entertain debate?
I'm not going to entertain debate on that any more than I'm going to entertain debate. If I have a serious... I'm going to put this as graphically as I can because I want your audience to get this. If it burns when I urinate, am I going to debate that with you?
All right, Dr. Turner.
No, am I going to debate that with you? Could you tell me that?
Of course you aren't.
No, because I know it's burning. Are you going to sit there and tell me no, it isn't? I could feel it.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about environmental climate change. You throw them out of the class. All right.
I throw them out, and I hold on to their registration fee for the class. If they want to, as I said to you before, we could play this any way they want to play it.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Dr. Ron Turner at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado tonight about global climate change and what he and other global climate change advocates are doing in the face of the snowstorm and other things, the Anglia emails, the research papers, so forth. Here is Sharma in Las Vegas. Go ahead, Sharma, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. I just felt that the doctor's inadequacy to look at debate on the subject and that weather doesn't even come into the picture about a climate change. In 1970, it was the ice age. Okay, so he can't even debate the
1970, I could tell you that I was in my third year of college. What do you mean ice age? I don't recall anything.
Time magazine, on the front of Time magazine was, we're going into an ice age. So now we're going into global warming. It's the weather changes.
Well, okay. On the front of Time magazine, they had Adolf Hitler as the world's greatest man.
No, they didn't. They had him as Man of the Year.
What's
okay.
the difference?
No, Man of the Year is just as somebody who's... In any event, Dr. Turner, Sharma is asking the question here. It seems like these predictions change. Once, 1 minute we've got ice age. The next minute we've got it's warming. We're back to global climate change now.
Have you ever, Sharma, have you ever felt something so strongly you just know it's a fact? You just know it.
Yes.
I don't know if you have a child. All right. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
We can't go by that, doctor.
Excuse me. I'm talking to the young lady. You know what I mean, Sharma. You felt
you
it and you know it.
Right.
You know. I know that there's something wrong with this planet.
Yeah.
And I want... Okay. Then why are you... What are you asking me?
Well, my point is... I think the whole global warming thing is for a bigger society thing, to put restrictions on us. We can't even debate the subject.
It's over. The debate's over. What more do you want to do?
Not when you want to imprison people for having an opinion.
I said we'd fine them.
Yeah, but if they don't pay the fine, they go to jail.
That's ridiculous. This is a free society. That's the point. You're able to debate. That's a republic.
I know that, but we're dealing with something that is so big that by the end of this century, you may not recognize this planet. Were you to live 100 years, Sharma, another 100 years, you would see something out of a Rod Serling nightmare. You would...
Boy, oh boy. You know, you guys with this hyperbole...
You know
who
what?
Am I speaking
with?
I'm the host of the
planet adjusts and corrects itself, and see, that's where the difference in belief really. If you go back and look at the history of the planet, it has changed itself.
All right. Okay, Sharma, let me ask you something. Does a child adjust and correct itself after you've beaten it with a baseball bat? No, it doesn't. It dies. Okay.
No, it absolutely changes.
Thank you very much. The child dies.
Okay, Dr. Turner. You talk about hyperbole. Thank you very much, Sharma. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We're here with Dr. Ron Turner. What are they going to do? They're global climate change advocates. They're under fire. The world's greatest Phil Hendry show.
Phil Hendry.
You know something? I'd like you to ask me a question I can understand.
And we're back with Dr. Ron Turner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. You've said to me that you will throw kids out of your kids. You're throwing people out of your classes who are questioning you.
I'm not going to sit, Phil, and discuss the reality of global climate change. And I listened to you during the break. And you are the kind of individual that is most dangerous, I think, Phil. And you know I respect you.
Wait. Hold on. What makes me dangerous?
You know very well what makes you dangerous, and I don't want to discuss it. I know in my heart, as does Bill Nye, and global warming is real. And
all right, I'm going to tell my audience then.
You know, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to spread more misinformation. If I could, I would have you fined.
How much would be the fine?
And I'm not going to play your. I'm not going to be a part of a comedy sketch or a comedy sketch. Skit. That you want to do.
This is not comedy. How much would you fine me?
I don't know, Phil. That would be worked out. I don't know. I would simply...
Well, I'm going to tell my audience what I was saying to you, because I had some jackass email me a link today to prove that there was all kinds of consensus on global climate change. He emailed it, or he posted it, rather, and it was from Scientific American. And
you know, Phil, this does not serve any purposes...
Hold on. I actually read these articles that he sent me. There wasn't one article in there that was a consensus with any other about global climate change. In point of fact, it said that the global mean temperature was dropping, and they had no explanation for that. And they also said in these Scientific American articles that while the waves or the swells in the ocean were getting bigger, quote, they had no idea what caused it or how long the phenomenon would go on.
I propose that you're not telling the truth, Phil.
And I am telling you right now, this is at a Scientific American, February the 12th, 2000 and whatever the hell year.
Okay, so you don't know what year it is. And you're
I know what year it is. It's 2010. And what happened is the following. When I finally said to this guy, dude, don't ever send me articles that you say prove something, and you haven't read them yourself, because I read them. And I wonder whether people who advocate global climate change, if they've ever even looked at any science.
I have offended. Do you have a doctor in front of your name?
Dr. Tarner.
Do you have a DR period in front of your name?
No, I do not.
Well, let me see. Who does? Oh, I'm sorry. I do. Don't I? Phil, don't I? Don't I have a doctor in front of... Phil, don't I have a doctor in front of my name?
Yes, you do.
All right. End of discussion.
No, not end of discussion. Not end of discussion.
End of...
If I was in your lecture hall, would you throw me out right now?
You better... You know, I'm going to be a gentleman about this.
Well, Dr. Tarner, what I've told you actually happened, and I can tell you as well that every time somebody asks for science, this is what we get. 877-876-PHIL.
It isn't, and I would fine you $500. And you know something else? I'd throw you out of my classroom, and I wouldn't want you back in, no matter, even if you had a horseshoe shoved up your you-know-what.
877-876-PHIL. Wow. Let's go to another phone call here. We got George in Chicago. George, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner.
Wow.
Don't be childish, doctor, okay?
Is how old are you, doctor?
I'm 67 years of age.
Well, then you should have learned something by now. How much of that time have you spent in the classroom? How much of that time have you spent in the library? Because that same 67 is what I am.
You don't learn in the classroom. You learn in the library and in
the
research.
I spent all those years that you sat in an office outside in this weather. I've been towing cars and jumping cars for 50 years in the city of Chicago. I've been out there when it's 27 below with a wind chill of 97 below. I've watched rains come in Chicago and the flood of the Plains River.
Hold on. Hold on for a minute. Do you mind, doctor?
What?
You know, the belch into the phone while this gentleman is talking, you did that on purpose?
He's ignorant.
What belch? What belch?
Go ahead.
And that or you got
go
funny
ahead.
Noises in your nose.
Yeah.
I want to see you scientists, all you guys.
What?
You see, here's part of our problem, Phil, in this country. Stupid people don't destroy the country. Stupid people don't make bombs. Stupid people don't make all these chemicals. These are all these college professors here that do all this stuff.
Oh,
you don't even know what a real life is.
You're an anti-intellectual. You're anti-intellectual.
No, I'm not an intellectual.
The very kind of guy.
What do you want to talk about? Politics?
You're opposed to intellectuals. You're just like the Red Guard that marched those people in Beijing with dunce caps on. You're against intellectuals and scientists.
No,
you would have me marched to prison, wouldn't you?
I'm sick and tired of you people telling me in this country what I'm going
to
do. Why don't you shut up and let me talk?
No, telling
you're going to throw me out of your classroom. I paid my money.
Do you have a Do you have a doctor in front of your name? Do you have a DR?
Yes, I do.
You already played that card, doctor.
I have a doctor in front of my name. I got a doctor of hard knocks.
Are you a doctor of?
I got my education.
Jumping Pontiac?
You mealy mouthed people were sitting in a classroom becoming professional students.
The very hard research that I've done.
You've been in your entire life. You know nothing of the outside world. You're one of
And you have a doctorate in jumping Mexicans Pontiacs on Sunday morning.
What was that?
Do what?
I didn't say anything. Nothing.
What did you say, doctor?
Nothing.
He hasn't said anything.
You said, you know what he said? No, you know what he said? He said that you had a doctorate in jumping Mexicans Pontiacs on Sunday morning.
I never said anything of the sort.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Not only that, you're a coward. You're just like this guy. We're all becoming Gestapo in this country. The American public's not going to be able to say anything because we have to be afraid of people like you. You cannot tie, like this guy in office,
you will not be able to jump out of
man's shoes.
Underwater.
Because you have never did anything in your entire life but sit and run your mouth, all you intellectuals.
I'm sitting at an observatory watching the stars.
Tell me one thing.
In case somebody launches a rocket ship to Mars.
Bill, what is an observatory?
Yes, I'm right here.
They look up. They look up. You need to look down, buddy. You need to look at the ground. You know, I listen to you people
need to
tell
look
me
down.
In Chicago. I listen to you people
you
tell
know,
me when the Des Plaines
if you
River.
You look down, you run
oh
into walls.
This is the worst flood we've had in 100 years. 2 months later,
well,
it's one in two years, 200 years.
What are you going to do if there isn't somebody up there staring at those stars and we see a flash of some kind of propulsion on a planet and it happens to be a rocket ship and it's headed for Earth? What do you do then?
Where's it
are you kidding?
Coming from?
If I detect a flash of propulsion or some nuclear energy from a planet that is sending a rocket ship to invade.
Oh, so
oh,
words,
come
like
on, man!
Too. You know, with,
oh,
you're
look
the same
at the two. You know,
you're
you know
the
what the problem is here. No, the problem is
listen,
you, you two
you
gentlemen
you're
hate intellectuals. You hate science.
1,500 black men after World War II with syphilis to see what it would do. You want to play games? You want to play with people's lives? I'm sick and tired of you people wanting to play with people's lives. You
I
don't know
this
nothing.
Man say that he
you're,
inject,
you're talking
you,
to that
you
man,
put,
Phil, like he's a
I
dog.
I heard you say that you've injected
you are,
black
you talk
men with your what?
Like he's a dog.
He's talking about the. He's talking about those African American soldiers who were used in horrific experiments.
I, Phil, you know, I'm
by
not
some
doing
scientists
anything.
Like you.
I try to save this planet. I'm not trying to.
You're
if
not
I
saving
to infect
nothing.
Anybody,
you're not
if
saving
I wanted to
nothing.
Infect anybody with syphilis, I'd go get George here. But I don't want to do that.
Oh, boy. So we're really getting personal, aren't we?
You, I told him that there's a possibility if
you
get invaded.
I've been out here. I pull people out of ditches. I pull bodies out
oh,
of
oh, here we go again with your the life and times of George jumping Pontiacs.
What are you
go
talking
ahead.
About, life? You never had
I've,
a life.
You, but,
that's why you're on a radio
all
right
I've heard
now.
About is your life.
You're on a radio
you
trying
know,
to have a life.
I,
you don't
I,
have
I,
a life.
I,
you've been
I have
playing
a
with
life.
Yourself
I
so long.
Stars.
You think there's little green
men wait a minute. I thought you said I need to look down. I thought you told me I needed to look down.
You do need to look down.
Okay. And what do you see when you look down?
You know, can I just want to say one thing, gentlemen. I think we've gotten far afield. Hold on. I think we've gotten far afield. We've gotten far afield of what it is we're trying to talk about. And we're trying to talk about global warming.
And that from the guy that runs the ESO station. Great.
What are you?
I'm a scientist. I'm a scientist and
you
open up some kind of crankcase. Yes. Well,
you're a child.
At least I know a little bit about global warming, and I'm not out there into a sewer.
He made a statement that was true. He made a statement
what?
That was true. He knows a little bit about global warming. Because you don't know a lot about
it. Oh, Phil, you know what? Phil likes to clown.
I wasn't clowning. That was in the article that I read in Scientific American. This was a collection of articles that some jive ass, some cat who said he knew all about it.
Well, it wasn't me.
I'm not saying it was you, but they said, hey, look at all these articles. It proves. Didn't prove anything. In one instance, it said that there was a surge of the ocean waters, but they didn't know why, and they didn't know how long it would last. In another instance, they said that the temperature is dropping, and they didn't know how to explain that. In another instance, they talked about methane gas, which is not man-made. Methane gas from swamps, CO2 from natural sources, not man-made, contributing significantly to the raising of temperatures.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Phil, because there was a guy making noise here trying to jump someone's Volkswagen. Say that again.
All right.
You know, Phil, Phil.
Yes, sir.
This is what you do when you don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, George, do you need the keys to my car? I'll just go ahead and get a cab. But
I'll tell you what. I can do something you can't do. I can jumpstart your car. You got an
snap a cable
you,
on the postable battery?
You do all this stuff that
change out
all you scientists that pick on people and say, well, this guy's got ADT and EDT and all these other chemicals in his body that's not right.
So now we
you
know.
What?
So now
you,
we know. Now we know. Now we know what's wrong with you. Did you get diagnosed with ADHD or something?
Huh?
Well, you know who did
well, that's
get
what he's
it?
All
you know
pissed off.
Get it? Thomas Edison had it. Did you invite him to invent the light bulb? Thomas Edison.
You're telling me the top. See, this guy thinks that you come down with ADHD like it's a virus. Who got it?
He said that Thomas Edison had it. And he said that Thomas Edison invited. You're right. Thomas Edison.
Invited a light bulb to do what?
He
sleep with him?
The light bulb.
Right.
Well,
he invited
what? Him and his $15,000 and 15,000 patents. He didn't actually did it. In fact, there was a black man in there who did a big part of it, along with...
Oh, look at that. You won't even give Thomas Edison credit. So you're trying
to
tell me that this is all made up,
huh? There's no such a thing as global warming. Pollution, I'll go along with that. Because not only that...
Pollution, you'll go along with that?
You know, it's like Al Gore. Al Gore left the office with $2 million. Today he has $100 million.
I've had enough. Hang up. Hang up, please.
You can't tell him to hang up.
I've had enough, but I wanted to hang up.
Why don't you start telling him to hang up, people? Because they throw off so much body heat that we've got global warming. And then you can start with Al Gore because he's so fat, he looks like he's Chinese and his eyes are pulling.
You know what? I bet you Al Gore is George Reeves compared to you. Now, I'm asking you to hang up.
Which means that he is
mentally... Are you going to kick me out of your class, you moron?
Yes, I am. Get it.
How are you going to kick me out?
You can't tell him to hang up.
Mr. Henry, I'm asking you to help.
Listen.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Guys like you and Al Gore that are condemning this country...
Wow.
You're asking for it, aren't you?
Wow.
I told you to hang up and get away from me.
Who do you think you're talking
to? You're not telling him anything.
You're a moron. Who do you think you're talking to?
I'll tell you who I'm talking to. I'm talking to a guy that I usually give the keys to my car to so he can go ahead and change the oil.
But you know why you give him to me? Do you know why you give him to me with all your $50 million worth of education? Because you're not competent to do it.
Because the owner of the gas station isn't there yet.
You can't do it yourself.
All right. Yes, absolutely.
I told you to hang up on this guy.
In fact, I'll guarantee you, Phil.
You know what? I hate you so much.
They call him Dipstick anyway.
Dipstick.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead and encourage this meathead.
Okay, thank George, good call. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Unbelievable. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. More of your phone calls coming up next. 877-876-PHIL. What's this about, 2012?
Yeah, it's a movie with John Cusack.
Great.
Did he hang up yet?
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. With me, Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. We have more of your phone calls, and this has turned into a spirited debate on the global warming or global climate change topic.
Phil, there is nothing spirited about this. This is not a debate. I've just been accused and attacked as an intellectual. I would think that you would have come to my defense. You had a guy, and I shouldn't say you had a grease monkey.
All right, look, you don't need to call him names.
What was he doing for 15 minutes but calling me names, saying that as a scientist, someone who has worked, I've worked my fingers to the bone, and I'll tell you something else. Let me ask you, do you believe that 9/11 was an inside job?
Of course I don't.
Why do you believe that?
Because we know for a fact that it wasn't. We know that the suspects that were on the plane were members of Al-Qaeda, these 19 individuals.
What about the science? Didn't they say that the building was exploded from within by some sort of demolition?
We happen to know that that did not take place. There's been no physical proof of that. We by deducing that it would take months to wire a building that big to bring it down. Building 7, we know that that term, you know, we all of these things.
Okay, the reason why you believe that is the science is in. And the science is in on 9/11. And
I mean, I'm not putting it very elegantly.
No, but I know, but the science is it, right?
Yeah, I would say the science is absolutely in. It has been in for many years on whether 9/11 was an inside job. It is an absolute scientific fact, among other things, that hijacking and that series of hijackings and those murders were caused by these terrorists in Al-Qaeda.
Okay, you say the science is in on that, and you won't even give me the dignity that you'd give a starving man by picking the crumbs off of your plate in the morning from your toast and giving them to him. You won't even give me that, will you?
Give you what, man? You're not giving me anything. You said the science is in. I agree.
Well, then why don't you say the science is in on global climate change?
Because it's not. Because it's not. Plain and simple. And if it was, you guys would debate it, because the American people are confused.
Oh, well, why don't we debate whether or not the Earth is flat?
Hold on, man. the American people and the people of the world are confused, and you guys don't even give them the dignity. You don't even deign to talk to us directly, you scientists who say the facts are in. You won't even sit down and debate this. I mean, if it's in, you could kick the hell out of anybody that disagreed with you, but you won't even do that. You won't even do that. You won't even sit down directly and have a debate. The former vice president of our country, Al Gore, I can't believe he looks like such an ass when he won't even stand there and debate directly anybody that challenges this.
Okay, now you stepped over. You've just called Al Gore an ass. You have stepped over the line with me. And I would ask you right now to get off of your show. I'd like to continue this by myself.
Well, that's not going to happen.
You have stepped over the line. And I'm asking you to get off your...
It's not going to happen. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to a phone call here. I think we have Rosemary. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I would like to say that the hyperbole on either side doesn't help anyone. It's, I'm sure, great radio. But I think climate change is a serious issue. And rather than talking the way we're talking, and I think the problem is that instead of the word debate, the word educate should be used. There are people that are going to believe whatever they want to, but with climate change, the issue is the planet's going to be here regardless of what we do to it. The issue is whether it's going to be habitable for us, whether there is going to be a place that's comfortable for not just us, but our children and our children's children. So
I don't know what's a habitable. That was the Lord of the Rings.
Well, maybe I...
Don't be, doctor. She said habitable, and you understand what she's saying.
Mr. Henry,
right,
okay. No, I did not. It sounded like she was saying hobbit or something. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Matt.
I'm sorry. Maybe it was my southern accent that threw you off. Anyway.
Are you a doctor? Are you a scientist?
No, I write software for a living, but I read a lot, and I do believe that climate change is real.
Oh,
and I think
God,
the issue is, I think climate
here
change
go.
Is actually real.
What?
I think the science is in.
Here we
but
go.
I think
Will you allow the lady to talk, Dr. Tarner? Just because she's not a doctor or a scientist, this is exactly what we're trying to say. The average people of this country and this world have to understand this.
So long as she makes it clear she's not a scientist.
She's made it clear. Go ahead.
I'm not a scientist, but I think of myself as educated.
I'd like to draw people's attention to that statement. You're not a scientist. Thank you.
And she says she's not anti. I'd like to. Go ahead.
If you would listen to me, you would find that while I agree with you on the scientific principles, I think that there is climate change. But I think that we don't do any favors to people by, I think the term's debate. You don't debate the theory of evolution there is with creationists because why would you have a debate? One is fact, one is not. I think the issue is that you need to educate people about what...
Well, I want to answer that, Rosemary, because creationism and evolution does not have the divide that this has. I mean, you have over 100 years of evolutionary education. We don't have a long time getting up to speed on climate change, but we're told we have to believe in it. And there's a huge divide in this country.
Why are you talking, Mr. Hendry? I'm the guest.
Go ahead, Rosemary.
Okay, but there... If you lived in the panhandle of Florida, you would think that there is a great debate and there was nothing subtle.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say is, instead of being, with all due respect, Dr. Tarner, by calling people names, it doesn't make people want to understand your position. And I think that the issue is that climate change...
Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
This idea of disposing the body...
He was engaged in a firefight with those that entered the area of the house.
This is a country that was built by immigrants. This is a country that became a...
There are times when my paralegal and I sit in this office.
Stop crying, you sniveling ass. Stop your nonsense.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go through the looking glass and beyond, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And right ahead we go, right over the tops of those soft heads that want to just pull this country, pull it back, pull it down, pull your pants up. before you try pulling anybody down, okay? Anyway, welcome to our program, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be continuing this hour talking about the events of yesterday as they unfolded. I can't believe that I sat here, and we'll get more into it in our news and information hour, but I can't believe I sat here, and it was just last night. It was just last night here on the West Coast that I sat and I looked up at the news, and I had spent the afternoon. I had just returned from Hollywood where I'd been on a panel on Saturday, and I look up and I see that the president is going to address the country. And I'm thinking, well, I wonder what that's about. Is it something to do with Gaddafi? Is it something to do with the, I don't know, you know, with the economy? And then there it is. Bin Laden is dead. Osama bin Laden is dead. And I knew that they wouldn't put that on the screen there, and the president would not be coming out to address the country if it hadn't been verified and it wasn't true. And then I got the news that not only was he dead, it was an American force that killed him, and that we had extracted, as they say in the business, the body, that Americans had the body. So it was like one of those just unbelievable things. You wanted all of that stuff to happen, and it did happen. Osama bin Laden, his death was called a good day for America. We're going to have Steve Bozell in here in just a moment to talk a little bit more about this. Will you turn that off, bud? We don't need that, okay?
I thought it'd be cool to hear again.
I don't want to hear Daniel Day-Lewis again. I want to hear something that's a little bit more cogent, as we like to say. Late Sunday evening, President Obama announced the death of Osama bin Laden. Here is this him? No, this is not him. This is Brennan, number one Brennan. Is it number one Obama? Okay, here we go.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children. Last August, after years of painstaking work by our intelligence community, I was briefed on a possible lead to bin Laden. It was far from certain, and it took many months to run this thread to ground. I met repeatedly with my national security team as we developed more information about the possibility that we had located bin Laden hiding within a compound deep inside Pakistan.
All right, we're going to get more into this audio from the president and probably do it next hour. Right now we have Stephen Bozell on the line from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor, and like so many Americans, just an average American, heard this announcement last night. And I saw people in Times Square. I saw people in front of the White House. Mr. Bozell, where were you?
I was in my home, and I saw the news, and I was, just as you were, Mr. Henry, I was sitting in my living room, and I saw the news that we had finished up with dinner, and my children had gone to finish up a little bit of homework. They'd gone upstairs, and my wife was, I believe she was on the phone with her mother at the time, and I saw it come across the news, and I think I made a sound of joy, you know, a whoop or a holler or something, and the kids come downstairs. I said that this Osama bin Laden, they found him and they killed him, and I couldn't believe it. I got on the phone with a couple of guys I work with, and my wife then, we had some dessert and just sat and couldn't stop watching the TV and everything, and this morning we talked about it with the kids, and I was very excited, and was thrilled by the news, and so it was surprising when I got to work that I got the call from my daughter's school, which is CK Corona, and Ms. Lawrence, who is the headmistress there, at the principal there, had asked me to come in.
You were asked to come into your daughter's school at what time today?
It was about 10 o'clock in the morning.
At 10 o'clock this morning, why?
Well, as I mentioned to you, and you had been talking to your audience, Mr. Henry, it was one of those days, you know, yesterday that I felt, you know, very good, and I think a lot of people felt very good about what had happened, and I showed it to my daughter, and I showed it to my kids too, you know, and I told them that that it was good that bin Laden, you know, they killed him, and so when I got the call from the school, I went in, I talked to this Ms. Lawrence, who said that I was directed to the my daughter is in sixth grade in the middle school, and it was there that I was that
I was expected, and I'd gotten the wrong information. I came down to see her, and she told me that she wanted to talk to me, but she didn't want to talk to me until I reported to the class. And so I went down to my daughter's class.
Well, what happened? Well, I don't understand. You were
I was told to go to the school because my daughter had mentioned to them that I had been overly joyous or something in the way that I had reacted to Bin Laden.
And your daughter had reported this.
Yes, sir. My daughter goes to CK Corona, and they they're involved in at this particular juncture in her school year and in current events, and they also have a curriculum that teaches the children to be good citizens, not only of the United States, but to be good citizens of the world. And my daughter felt that it was something that she needed to mention to her teacher.
What do you mean? I'm having. Why did she have to mention that you were overly enthusiastic or happy that Bin Laden was dead?
Because it basically runs afoul of what they teach the children at CK Corona. They teach the children at CK Corona, and particularly the death of Bin Laden, not something to be celebrated. That this morning, in fact, they had talked to the kids that Osama Bin Laden was. It was wrong to be celebrating a man who was dead, and Martin Luther King said, you don't celebrate the death of your enemy because that makes you dislike him.
And, oh, are you telling me that, in other words, that the school is telling this the children this?
Yes, sir. And I was upset with it myself. I didn't think it was right, and I when they had called me in, but after I had stood in front of the kids and they. Middle school. Then I realized that they did have a good point, and that's primarily what I wanted to say.
Hold on for a minute here. We're talking with Stephen Bozell, Corona, California. How old are you, Steve? You don't mind me asking?
Yes, sir. I'm 39.
You're 39 years old. You own your own business. You have a wife, right?
Yes, sir.
And you have a son as well as a daughter.
That's correct. Yes.
Does your son go to this school?
Yeah, my son Steve Jr. is in the elementary school.
All right, and congratulations on your family.
Thank you.
But you reacted the way millions of Americans reacted. You were happy, and I was happy, and I was glad, and I didn't care that they killed the son of a gun, and I didn't care if they'd captured him and waterboarded his ass. I would have been happy. And so you react this way, and you are called to your daughter's school. Now, I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, you have to understand, Mr. Henry, I think it'd help if, I appreciate it, but you need to know that this school is a very good school. It's one of the best public schools in the country. They teach the kids to be, citizens of the world and to not be reactionary. They tell the children not to be, a reactionary pig or to be a pig. And
a pig? What do they call a pig?
Well, they talk about the pigs, not a pig, but in my daughter's class, they talk about a pig being a member they like war and they don't like peace and so.
Well, is your daughter taught patriotism? Is she taught about?
Well, if you just let me finish, Mr. Henry, because I've got two. I want to talk to you. My daughter is here as well, and she's listening to the broadcast. I want to make sure that I,
Your daughter is there?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'd like to say something to her.
Well, if you could hold on for just a minute, I'd appreciate that because I want you to know, and I want your audience to know, I appreciate you helping me. But my daughter, I love her very much, as any father would. I'm very proud of her. And what they told me in the school today, Mr. Henry, it does make a lot of sense. I was very happy to know that Osama bin Laden had died. They killed they killed him. But I found, in speaking to Bradley, and I talked to Deanna, I talked to Bernadette, I talked to my own daughter.
And who are these people?
Well, these are the students that I talked to in my daughter's class. Bradley is a young man, very intelligent, and he was the one who had told me that I was behaving like a pig.
These kids are 12 years old, Mr. Bozell, and the idea of a child calling a man a pig.
Well, you don't understand.
The idea of a child calling a man a pig, especially the day after something momentous like this has happened. What did this class? What is this teacher teaching these kids?
Hold on, Mr. Henry, please. See, there are people, you need to understand, I don't believe that bin Laden should have been killed. I agree with my children, my daughter in particular now. I didn't agree last night, but I do agree now. I think that it was wrong for me to celebrate. It was wrong for me to stand and go, yay, and what everything. You know, I'm a little emotional tonight.
What all did you do, sir? I mean,
I got the flag out, and I put the flag this morning. I put it up in the front of the house. I never fly the flag at night because you don't fly the flag in the dark.
Of course.
And we don't have any uplights, so I made a decision last night. First thing this morning, I'd go out and I'd put our beautiful American flag up. But and so I did. And my daughter came home from school and took it down as I know she should. We have to be mindful and respectful of all human life.
And wait. You let your daughter take the flag down?
I did only because my daughter wanted to make the statement that I was not respectful of human life, saying, you know, going yay when bin Laden, when it was announced that we, killed him.
And you let your daughter take the flag down that you put up in front of the house. Why?
Well, I think I explained that.
No, sir, you did not.
Well, because the flag that I had put out in front of the house was representative of my joy at the death of a man. And my daughter and Bradley and some of the other kids came from the school directly and took possession of the flag. And
your daughter gave away your flag to who?
Well, to the other children.
Sir, this is political correctness run amok. This is a school that is teaching the children not to have any respect for the flag, not to have any respect for the American, the life of the nation, not to have any respect for the citizens of this country, that a cold-blooded murderer who is killed after a 10-year manhunt somehow, that's a sad thing when this guy, and you, the thing that's killing me is that you have changed your opinion based upon some classroom confrontation.
Well, it was not a confrontation. I went to the class, and the children told me that I had been wrong. I keep mentioning this one young boy named Bradley, who was the one that told me that I was acting like a pig. He used the pig word, and I was offended. And
how old is this kid?
He's 12, sir, but let me finish, Mr. Andre.
Boy.
He's 12, sir, yes, but Bradley told me that I was a reactionary pig for laughing and cheering when a man died, and he said that to be respectful of human life and a citizen of the world, I need to feel bad that bin Laden died, and that's when they decided to come and take possession of the house. I had told them that I put the flag up, and they told me that they'd be at the house this afternoon.
And they took the flag down?
Yes, sir.
And these are 12-year-old kids?
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. You ready for this? This is almost as insane as when, after 9/11, they told those firefighters they couldn't fly the flag from their trucks. This is Mr. Stephen Bozell, who was exuberant and joyful and celebratory after the announcement of the death of bin Laden last night. But this morning, he was called to his daughter's school and told by the school and the students that respect for human life is what they teach. They teach the children that it was wrong to celebrate a man's death. They teach the children that it was wrong to be joyous on the occasion of Mr. bin Laden's demise, and some of the students took possession of his American flag this afternoon. What is it with these schools, man? What's wrong with citizenship? What's wrong with patriotism? What's wrong with giving kids a good, cold, hard dose of reality that we're a great country, but it's not necessarily a great world? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Your call's next for our guest, Steve Bozell, from Corona, California, in a moment of the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Most of us yesterday celebrated the death of Osama bin Laden, the announced death of Osama bin Laden. Mr. Mozell did the same thing. At your daughter's school this morning, they were told that this is not something to celebrate. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir. That was my understanding.
All right. And I saw similar comments, by the way, on Twitter. I saw a couple of comments, one from the comedian Penn Jillette. He was quoting Martin Luther King as if Penn Jillette, you know, as if Penn Jillette reads Martin Luther King. Probably he does, but yeah, somehow I just don't think of him as the intellect that's got Martin Luther King's words on the tip of his tongue. And then, of course, Michael Moore was he was dead set on making sure everyone was bummed out, pissed off, and upset that bin Laden had been killed. Is that the sense you were getting?
Well, no, sir, because, as I said, yeah, I understand my daughter's class and the thing that, you know, that they were saying. You know, I was like you, I think, probably at the beginning. And I said to my daughter, you know, don't you think it's good that bin Laden's dead? And that's when I was called to the school, and I went down to the class, the students, Bradley, and I mentioned Deanna, a couple of the other students, said that I was westernized and that I was talking more of a nationalistic point of view. But
do you see that this school has some kind of political correct speech that they want the children, you know?
No, sir, you're wrong. Please understand two things. I love my daughter very much. My daughter is in the room right now listening to what we're talking about. She's going to be going to her school tomorrow to talk to them, and I'm hoping that what my daughter hears tonight, she can go to the school and say, and she wants to go to the school and say to my father's, you know, I'm proud of my father. And if...
Well, but I don't, you know...
I'm asking you not to ask me questions that are going to... I guess, to put it crudely, piss off Mrs. Lawrence or piss off Bradley or any of these kids, right?
Well, I don't care about pissing off Bradley. He's a 12-year-old kid. Our number is 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell's daughter, his school called him to campus where he was called, among other things, a pig by, and I don't know, sir, to me, I don't know why you didn't defend yourself more by these students, because he was happy that bin Laden was dead. Here is Jeremy in Abilene, Texas. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Jeremy, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say to you, sir, that if you don't realize it, you might look into it. The Hitler started indoctrinating children back whenever he was taking over his little escapade he pulled. And it's been happening since Lyndon B. Johnson. I've done a lot of research, and I'm involved in several groups, sir.
Yes, sir.
I believe you might look into it yourself.
What group are you for?
Say what?
What group is you in? I could look into.
It's actually a Tea Party movement.
Yes, sir. I'm familiar with Tea Party. I've been active in the American Way for one.
And
yes, sir.
I also believe that you were wrong for agreeing with them children, because what they're teaching in schools and universities is not correct.
Yes, sir. Well, my daughter is here, and she's asking me to tell you that one of the problems I'm having is my daughter is listening to the show, and I want her to listen to it, but she's asked me to tell you that you're wrong.
Wait a minute.
Well,
I don't want
wrong,
your daughter...
Sir.
Your daughter's not on the show, sir. It's you and this caller.
I understand that, but my daughter heard this gentleman, Jeremy, and she said that he's... I just didn't want to piss her off, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to...
Guess what, sir? This is not a time to be in the non-piss-off mood.
Yes,
I don't really understand why anybody would get mad about being honest with the way things should be and not the way things... They want things to be in our school district.
They want, on the way that they shouldn't be. But they said to me the way it's supposed to be is, and I just don't, I love my daughter, you know, and she just wants to make sure that I'm not being happy about a man dying. I don't know.
Well, tell you what, why don't you hold on, Jeremy? Hold the line, Jeremy, and we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We also have Steve Bozell.
Phil Hendry.
I'm just trying to, I don't want to be pissed off.
877-876-PHIL, I know.
What?
We'll be right back. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we continue here with Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. Mr. Bozell's school, his daughter's school, CK Corona, which is a public school and considered to be one of the best in the country. The sixth grade class there had him standing in front of them this morning and basically lecturing him, 12-year-old kids lecturing him, on why he should not celebrate the death of Osama bin Laden. And what I'm trying to figure out here, sir, is how do 12-year-old kids, I understand the school asked you to come down there, but how is it that you stand there for 12-year-old kids, and I'm going to bring Jeremy back on because I promised to give him just a couple of more minutes, how is it that you stand there and take it from these kids?
Well, once they told me what they were trying to say, and that was that, you know, my nationalist mindset is really for more like a pig. I know you don't like the word, but it's more for a pig. And they told me I was a pig. I had then said to the teacher,
how can you stand there and hear a 12-year-old kid call you a pig?
Because, understand, my daughter and my son are the two most important things in the world to me, and if it means that they'll, you know, will be my, you know, that they'll love me, and if I'm a global citizen and I'm unselfish, I give back to society. And
that's
and
the
I'm
reason
here.
We have problems, because you're being a global citizen. That's the problem with our government. They want us to be global citizens. That ain't
what's wrong with being
no
a global
more.
Citizen. That's the whole way the world's going. You got to be a global citizen, otherwise, what are you going to be?
An American citizen.
American
how about that?
Citizen. How about that?
Well,
you like American citizens? We can do that, can't we?
Yeah. Why can't we do no? Why can't we do global? You want to be American? Might as well be global.
No, not might as well be global because
I
the world is.
Born, I wasn't born. Global. I was born American, and I was also born in
Texas. Weren't you born on a global basis, though? You were global in the way that you were born.
Sir.
What does that, what's that mean?
The people over in China have a day of the week that can drive their car. That's the global way. You want to be told that you can only drive your car on Tuesday and Thursday, and that's it? The rest of the time you got to walk to work? That's the global way. We don't want
well,
the global
sir,
way.
Yes,
that's
sir,
why
I don't think,
we started movements
well, sir, I
in
think
America.
I don't think that you know that you should be talking because down in the South, my understanding, because I was raised in Tennessee, we can't drink booze on certain days. You know, you're not allowed to. Why can't I buy a drink on a Sunday? See, so same kind of a deal.
And, well, that's not the guy. That's more religiously inspired. That's an old kind of religious community inspiration. That's not the government.
Well, I mean. Same difference. I can't even have me a beer on Super Bowl Sunday. That's something basically un-American about that. When you say that, and here my daughter, this Bradley kid, you should have heard him. I know he called me a pig.
He's a 12-year-old kid.
What happened,
should never...
what happened on 9/11/2001? What happened that day? And who was responsible, in part at least, by
the
that?
Global citizenship. But global citizenship would have made it okay. You know?
Oh, come on, man. If we'd been better global citizens, it never would have happened, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's
my feeling.
Not correct. If we were Muslims, we might agree with that, but, sir, I'm 100% Christian, and
well,
I
sir,
believe
I'm,
in God. I believe in one
right
God.
You think it's right as a Christian to dance? You think it's right as a Christian to dance and sing and go, yay, we, when a man gets killed? I don't.
Oh, okay. Get out of here, man. You were doing it until your daughter's class called you in and told you that you were a quote-unquote pig. Thank you very much, Jeremy, for your caller. Number 877-876-PHIL. Weren't you? You were dancing, and you were singing.
Yeah, yes, I was. And when I was called in by CK Corona, especially I talked to Miss Lawrence, and she said, my understanding is she said that April Jr. told you, she told us that you were laughing and carrying on about how bin Laden died. And she said at that moment, she said that she was personally disgusted. The school, of course, was disgusted, would have to put it down. And I've never had anyone tell me that before in my life.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with you, Mr. Bozell. There's something wrong with these adults that you're dealing with and these kids. Telling you that you're disgusting because you celebrated the death of Osama bin Laden, they're sick in the head. Those people are messed up. Do you understand? You're not.
Well, I think you're wrong, Mr. Andy, because my daughter... My daughter just now told me to ask you to apologize.
I'm not apologizing for anything, sir. And I'll tell you something else. I don't like the fact that your daughter is standing there.
Hold on for a minute. What? My daughter is insisting.
Hey, you tell your daughter that I'm an adult and I will speak the way I wish and I'm talking to another adult. And that, you know, I shouldn't have to tell you these things, man. She's your daughter. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Sharon in Fresno, California. Go ahead, Sharon.
Thank you so much. I am a teacher. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I teach special ed, and on 9/11, I was...
My daughter doesn't want to talk to a teacher.
Guess
what? Excuse me,
your daughter needs to understand that adults have... there should be a level of respect and reverence to adults. Yes, there should be an issue regarding sanctity of human life, but when an evil force has happened that's destroyed human beings for no apparent reason, there is something that needs to be taught to the children, and there's probably litigation that can happen with the school, basically. Having a working adult come in and have a roast in front of the children, I don't get that.
That wasn't a roast, ma'am. Well, they basically said to me that I was wrong to be celebrating. My daughter, by the way, when you were talking, was making a mouth flapping with her hand, which I thought was, I told her she shouldn't do that.
You know what? Your daughter's got no respect for adults.
You know, I could have written her up three times in the last 5 minutes just listening in. It sounds as though, you know, I've read this book, Tough Love, and it's a really good book, and it teaches us that sometimes our kids don't have to like us. But if we're teaching them values and we're teaching them a way to be so that there's a level of respect for adults, I think something's missing.
Ma'am. She's doing the same thing now with the hand. She's going blah, blah like that.
I want to say disrespectful, and I can't speak to that because you're the dad. And
I am, ma'am.
You know,
well, you know, why don't you tell your daughter not to do that?
My daughter has a constitutional right to her freedom of the speech, okay?
No, you are an adult man. You are, sir, I'm going to tell you, Mr. Bozo.
No, yes, she is a minor, but all I was saying to the lady and to you, Mr. Andrew, is when Obama died and I was dancing and singing, my daughter was disgusted with it and told me I was disgusting. And when I went to the school and Ms. Lawrence had me in front of the sixth graders, the kids basically told me how disgusting I was and how wrong it all seems.
Do you guess that that's inappropriate? For an adult to be grilled by the children. I mean, yes, they have. Maybe they could do it in the form of a letter. But to have it sounds humiliating to me, and I'm sad that that happened for you because there are thousands of people in this country who lost loved ones in 9/11, and people in other countries whose family members have died at the hand of some evil forces. And I can't
daughter wants to know where you teach school.
I teach at a public school, and I went to a private school, and my sons went to private schools, and they were taught...
The name of the public school you teach at?
No, do not tell anybody where you teach, okay?
No, the
Sharon,
point
don't do
is
that.
That your
daughter
daughter sounds a very progressive, and this is, it's for sixth grade.
Would you talk to us, Steve, and not to your daughter?
My daughter wanted to know why I wouldn't give her the name of the school, and I told her this lady won't tell me.
Your daughter had better back off, sir, or you know what I think I'll do? I'm going to hang up with you, but then the next day, tomorrow, I'm going to pay a visit. You and I will talk to you at your place of business.
Is that a threat?
No, it's not a threat. I'd like to sit down and talk to you.
Well, my daughter, she just said to me she'll have to be there. So...
Your daughter will have to be there in on the conversation.
At any meeting that I have with Mr. Henry, yes.
Well, you know, it sounds like your daughter's calling the shot, sir, and it makes me sad because I really want to empower you to get to a place where you can teach her about some of the history. Many people suffered and died for the freedoms that we experience right now. And there are thousands and thousands of servicemen protecting our borders and then protecting democracy.
My daughter said to me, if you could wrap it up while we're still young.
You know what? Your daughter's a smart ass.
Now she's wanting me to reel it in, huh? You know? See, I hear the level of disrespect and it saddens
no
me.
No kidding.
Because this is
no
the youth that are coming up in this particular, I hope this is not indicative of an across-the-country movement, because Gen X doesn't, you know, I don't know.
I don't think this is Gen X. I think these are Gen Y. I think these are millennials.
It could be.
All my daughter said was, well, we're burning daylight, and she said this lady was like...
You know, you know.
Boy.
I don't have the power to write her up.
You know what, if you, sir, if you had any kind of control over this child, you wouldn't have to be relaying what she's saying.
Said that she's when the lady said she'd write her up, my daughter's now laughing.
Yeah,
and you know what?
He finds folly in this, and so does the principal. And I think that what's really sad is that the school overreached and brought a private citizen in. What happens in your home,
that's
sir,
right,
is your business, and the school
that's
has no jurisdiction there.
My daughter just left me a note. It says, this lady is disgusting. Ha, ha, ha. I'm only kidding.
Well, I'm
a child
of God, and I believe
now.
In God, and I'm sad that she takes that stand with you, sir, because you're the parent.
She wants to know if you're good-looking.
Oh, boy. All right, don't answer that either, Sharon. I got to go. I don't have to go. We got to take a break sooner or later. 877.
Well, she's insisting. She wants to know if Sharon's good-looking.
Well, she's not going to get the answer to that. 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show. We're here with Stephen Bozell on what should be a very good day in America as we talk about the final just desserts for a mass murderer, a man that changed really the course of history in this country for the worse, although perhaps if it brings us together as a nation, makes us smarter and better as a country, who knows. Here is Tyler in North Carolina. Tyler, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Hey there. I'm having a hard time believing this is even really happening. I'm a college student in North Carolina, and I'm not going
to talk about that.
Okay, you're going to talk to me, Mr. Bozell, and my caller, please. Go ahead, sir. Tyler, go
back
ahead.
That way toward my parents, my family, I would get my butt kicked, and you know that's taught me to see, I mean, she has complete control over him right now.
No, and my daughter does not have control over me. It's that I agree with my daughter insofar as she and the other students have said to me that real global citizenship is what we're talking about, and when you are celebrating the murder,
define global citizenship.
The murder? What do you mean the murder of a man? This guy was executed in this man was a fugitive. A
define
fugitive from justice.
What's that, sir?
Define global citizenship.
Being a global citizen means you are now a citizen of the nation of the globe. And so am I going to kick my heels up and go yay if an American got killed and everything? No. So why would I do that then if a globe, the global...
If this man was allowed to exist, to persist about his terroristic ways... You have to understand that not only has he already killed thousands of people, but he's going to continue to kill thousands of people. And why is it wrong to celebrate that the thousands of people that would have died had he not been killed will be alive tomorrow and continue to live and live their lives to the fullest?
It's wrong.
Why is it bad to celebrate the lives of the people who will not be killed because he is no longer on Earth?
Well, it's wrong to kill... I can't read it. It's wrong to kill this...
Well, don't read something that someone's written for you, okay?
Well, God.
Have an opinion for yourself. Don't sit here and try not to piss off the teacher.
I'm not trying to... I want to talk good about it. I want to talk good about it myself. And it's wrong to kill a person like... It's wrong not to kill, but it's wrong to go yay and celebrate a man when he takes a bullet right through the eye? Yeah, sure. If you ever saw The Godfather and you saw the scene where Mo Green took a bullet in the eye, am I supposed to stand up and go, yay?
Green and The Godfather.
If that man had ever represented anything positive toward humanity or the global environment whatsoever, then you might be able to feel a pang of sadness. But the fact that he had been nothing but
take the pole out of your butt, so I'm sorry.
What's that?
My daughter said for this man to take the pole. My daughter said for this man to take the pole out of his butt.
You know something?
12 years old. What does she know about anything?
All right. Tyler, I got to take a break.
All right. Thanks.
Our number.
Well, that's what she wrote.
And the fact that you read it makes you, I don't even think we could call you father anymore. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, she wrote down this guy should take the pole out of his. She said ass.
All right. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Stephen Bozell about his daughter, her school, and the fact that this man, along with all of us, celebrated the death of Osama bin Laden yesterday, but his daughter and her schoolmates, he was called into the school and told to correct his behavior, that it was not right to celebrate the death of a man, and he was called on the carpet in front of 12-year-olds. 877-876-7445. Just a few more minutes with Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. This man alone, in a world of celebration, he is not allowed to. Next hour, our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, news and commentary hour here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Pull out of your rear end. Do we have one there?
Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk with Mr. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. During the break, Mr. Bozell, you told me that you were scared. Is that what you told me, sir?
I'm a little concerned about the... I've said to you, sir, that I love my country, and I did celebrate Osama bin Laden, but I was wrong about it, and I would ask you and I'd ask your callers to not do anything that would incite the school or incite my daughter or and members of that particular class, the young man Bradley, in particular, if he's incited. I don't have it on first account, but I'm told that this... Oh, God.
That he what?
I don't know if I should tell you what this Bradley boy is capable of.
What has he done, sir?
I don't know that he's done anything. I have heard stories.
What stories have you heard, sir?
I'd rather not get into it now, because I talked to you off the air.
You'll talk to me off the air what this boy Bradley is capable of. Those were your words.
That was what I heard, yeah.
And you are afraid of this? You're afraid of it, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am, to a degree, and yet I want my daughter to be proud of me, too.
Let me take a phone call, and I want you to hang on the line after we end this segment. 877-876-7445. Here is Kevin in Yakima, Washington. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Well, I've been listening to this for quite a while now, and I was originally going to start talking about your right to fly the American flag, but I think that's the smallest part of this conversation. I'm an ex-military. I'm currently serving in law enforcement since the early 80s, and I've seen the power that kids have gotten. I think you as a father, and your last comment about you being scared to death of this kid, Bradley, in this class.
Bradley, yes, sir.
Speaks a lot to your fear, your wishy-washiness. You are the parent of this child. I have a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old at home that understands, and we have a very open relationship. We talk about everything. But when you start bending to the will of a 12-year-old and not act, and then letting your daughter act the way she is on that phone, I quite frankly am shocked.
Well, I don't know.
And
my
I'm concerned about your well-being.
Bending
not
to the will
about hers,
though.
About yours.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
This is a very good point that this gentleman's making.
Well, but to bend to Bradley's will, I'm just trying to make everybody happy. And if Bradley has instructed me, what would you do, sir?
Me, for one,
would
I let them take the American flag down, and there would have been police called if one of those kids would have touched my flag. That would have been pure and simple, and then I would have went to the class and spoke my exact mind and been done with it.
What about Bradley's will and his willpower?
What about Bradley's will? Who's Bradley? He's a 12-year-old punk.
Exactly, exactly.
But the kid, you don't understand. I'm saying, would you bend to his will?
No, I would not bend to his will.
Well, you're a better man than me.
Well, I think we finally got to something. Yes, he is. And Mr. Bozell, hang on the line, because I want to find out about this, what you're afraid of.
You don't understand. If I talk to you...
You're going to talk to me. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.